Are you someone who loves Christmas? To the point that you really hate to take the decorations down, even if it is January 15th? If you answer yes, you are a Noelophile. And so am I. And this show is for you. Hi, I'm Dot Cannon, also known as Noella Noelophile. And welcome to my Noelophile podcast. On this show, we're going to be talking about Christmas in general and California Christmas in particular.
It is literally like 11 Christmas Eves, because when you enter the Dickens Christmas Fair, it is evening in the story of A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve. The 300 plus costumed performers that portray the characters of Charles Dickens' England as well as his books are dancing and singing and putting on plays on six stages. The whole idea of the Dickens Christmas Fair, of course, is that it is living history that is different every time you visit. There are hundreds of Renaissance fairs, in fact, across the country, but there's only one Dickens Christmas Fair.
Every Christmas season, the Bay Area experiences a unique celebration. For 5 weekends, starting just before Thanksgiving, the Great Dickens Christmas Fair takes visitors back to Dickensian London. Now, technically, the Dickens Fair is a highly interactive, immersive theater event, which includes games, experiences, shopping, performances, and food. But that description doesn't even come close to capturing the magic. 2024 marks a special milestone for the Dickens Fair. Their Ruby Jubilee as they celebrate their 40th season. Kevin Patterson is the founder and co-producer of Red Barn Productions, producers of the Great Dickens Christmas Fair.
Kevin, as we record this, we're barely 2.5 weeks away from a very special celebration for the Great Dickens Christmas Fair. What can you tell me about these final preparations for the Ruby Jubilee celebration?
Well, the Cow Palace in San Francisco has been our home now for 24 years. And the beautiful exhibition halls that we take over today, literally, become transformed into the streets. And, you know, with the sounds and the wonderful foods and the decor that makes it feel like you've stepped into a storybook and stepped into one of Charles Dickens' novels in the time of Victorian London. And so that is a 3-week build. And we are pulling out the stops to make it extra beautiful this year. We have added a steam train for people of all ages to enjoy that is in our new expanded lobby, which we call Victoria Station. So people will be greeted by the Ruby Jubilee celebratory feeling and be able to ride on a steam train for the very first time indoors at the Dickens Christmas Fair when they arrive at the Cow Palace on the 23rd of November, our opening day.
Let's take that trip in our imagination right now. We go to the Cow Palace the 23rd of November. We get on board the steam train.
Yes.
And it takes us where?
It takes you in an imaginary trip into the forests outside of London and then into London, where the conductor will tell you that you have arrived in the Victoria Station Railroad Yard, and the porters will then take your luggage, if you have luggage, put them on the trolleys, and see you to the exit door, which then brings you to the entrance to our indoor magical world of Victorian London. And from there, every day is like you have experienced in the past, if you've been there, completely unique. The 300 plus costumed performers that portray the characters of Charles Dickens' England as well as his books are dancing and singing and putting on plays on six stages. And it's just a wonderful way to bring in the holidays that my family and I are very, very proud to continue to be able to bring to Bay Area audiences now in our 40th year.
Before we look at what's in this magical world, what are the milestones you remember from having grown up with the Dickens Fair, being one of, I think, Fagin's young men at the age of 10?
Yes.
And now, what stands out in your mind?
Well, I have to give proper credit to my parents, who were the original visionaries of this in 1970. We missed a few years throughout the decades, but it was founded because the Renaissance fairs that my parents also invented were in the springtime and in the fall. And all of the craftspeople and the actors and the crew, they needed to work during the winter just like anybody else. And my parents then sort of completed the year of celebration and production in these wonderful living history inventions of theirs. So the Dickens Christmas Fair came to life in 1970 for that purpose, to keep people working and busy during the winter. And it turned into everybody's favorite event. The Renaissance Fair was beloved, and we no longer are involved in them. And there are hundreds of Renaissance fairs, in fact, across the country, but there's only one Dickens Christmas Fair. And I think that's because it is so elaborate and so rich and has taken so many years to develop into the deep experience that we have to, you know, present to the customers who come through the doors that nobody else is willing to try. So that is one milestone. Another important milestone, I think, is the fact that the Cow Palace really opened its doors to us for the second time in 2000. And that prior to that, we had been there for a couple of years, but we'd also been in several other locations around the Bay Area, including Pier 45, Fisherman's Wharf, Pier 3, Fort Mason, and also the Fox Theater in Oakland before it was actually retrofitted and turned into a music venue, and in Cal Expo in Sacramento. So it was a little bit like one of Dickens' novels in a sense, right? It was sort of this homeless waif that went from venue to venue trying to find a home. And it has finally found that home as of 2000. And then since then, we've been able to really make it better and better every year. And people really appreciate the excellent parking. And so that year 2000 is an important milestone in the 43-year adventure that is the Dickens Christmas Fair.
When we talk about what you have done and how you've kept it fresh and new, yes. What are some of the additional new additions for Ruby Jubilee?
Well, the whole idea of the Dickens Christmas Fair, of course, is that it is living history that is different every time you visit. So the shows evolve, and some of them are the same because they are traditional, like Mad Sal's Dockside Ale House. We'll have new wonderful sing-along songs and new music hall performers to perform them. And the Victoria and Albert Bijou Music Hall on the upper side of London will have a panto again this year. And that is the story of essentially the way that the Victorians saw fairy tales and putting them into this very sort of exaggerated, wonderful form of Christmas tradition that is the British pantomime. And if you've never seen a British pantomime, it's definitely something not to miss. But those things evolve year to year. And we have a new Father Christmas to celebrate the Ruby Jubilee, a wonderful fellow who has, you know, come from old Europe. That is the style of Father Christmas, the style of Santa Claus that we bring to life at the fair. And the older audiences, the more mature audiences, will appreciate that the Dark Garden Corsetry booth is back, and they will have these wonderful vignettes of people in their men and women and in beautiful evening attire, frozen in the windows. And then the experiences are all relatively new, a couple of them brand new, which is where people can sign up to be involved in these very immersive, engaging, and participatory experiences, such as Sherlock Holmes, where they get a series of clues and they get to go around the fair to try to solve them. Or the Jekyll and Hyde experience, which is a marvelous thing that is really a pub crawl that is exploring all of these different elixirs or bespoke beverages. And you get to solve a riddle at the end of the pub crawl to figure out the particular antidote that will save Dr. Jekyll from becoming Mr. Hyde. And so that combined with all of the things that the children at the fair can really enjoy in their area really creates a wonderful balance to the celebration of our Ruby Jubilee with new things and with many traditional things.
Those were some fun games on your website for the kids. They get to, was it paint flowers for the queen and fire off? Are they chimney sweeps that they're dispatching?
Yes. There's all sorts of very interesting and unusual games at the Dickens Fair that we have and our vendors have invented that are completely unique. And they're one of a kind. So you can only find them at the Dickens Christmas Fair. One of them is called Paint the Roses Red, where you throw a paintbrush at a bush that has white roses on it. And if you hit the white rose, it spins around and turns red. And of course, this is one of the aspects of the story of Alice in Wonderland. And And so the kids can engage in that story. And they can also put their faces through the painted wall that has a, just outside that area, a motif of all of the various characters from Alice in Wonderland, which, you know, is another 19th century story. So it's Dickens and it's Lewis Carroll and it's all of the wonderful playwrights of the Victorian era, given, you know, sort of new life and a way for people to participate and to really immerse themselves in those wonderful stories.
A personal favorite for me is the shopping with all your amazing artisans. Who will be there new this year for Ruby Jubilee?
Well, that's really a kind of a long list. There are new vendors that come to the Dickens Christmas Fair every year. We have a wonderful cart that sells handmade pipes called Danny Boy Pipes. There's another booth that is selling beautiful Celtic jewelry that has not been with us before. There's another one that is selling all of these different forms of honey that are beautifully packaged and can then be, you know, combined with your favorite scone recipe. And you can take home the scone mix and have, you know, honey and butter and scones for your holiday celebration. So I'd like to leave a little bit of that to a surprise for the guests that come. But the fair is replete with very high quality handcrafts. It is a juried show. There's over 90 different artists that are represented, and people can meet the artists, which is also something very unusual. At most festivals or craft shows, you don't get to meet the person that is actually the maker and talk with them about their process or really understand what went into it and what their traditions are. So the Dickens Christmas Fair has many layered traditions and lots of wonderful artistic components that people can discover.
And I'm assuming that we'll get to meet some of the luminaries of Mr. Dickens's day as well in the Athenaeum.
Oh, yes, yes. The Athenaeum Club.
Athenaeum, sorry.
Is a difficult word to pronounce, but it is a very traditional British club that invited the scholars and the inventors and the adventurers of the Victorian era, which were many and various. We owe the fact that museums exist to the Victorians and their way of looking at the natural world and deciding, oh, we should really catalog every single form of animal and butterfly and flower and tree on the planet because one would want to. And nobody before that had really attempted to do that as thoroughly or invent ways to be able to present it the way that the Victorians did. So when you go there, you will meet the wonderful painters of the time period, poets of the time period, and the inventors and the adventurers of the time period. This is in this beautiful curated sort of Victorian parlor space that we call the Athenaeum Club. And all of the members there are happy to welcome audiences in. They give them lectures and they also give them an opportunity on particular days or particular times each day to draw and to teach them how to, you know, sort of replicate some of the masters. And so we have live models and pads of paper and some art instruction. And so people can participate that way too in this wonderful Victorian parlor setting.
I love how interactive this is. Do we get to meet the Queen too?
Oh no, the Queen is not in this year available for us. So we talk about her and we also honor the fact that her husband, Prince Albert, was very, very busy helping the British people and indeed looking at ways to make people's lives better through invention and through the Crystal Palace, which was the very first World's Fair, where peoples from all over the planet were gathered together to present the innovations of the Victorian period. And there was a club named after him as well. So our Athenaeum Club will keep that tradition alive and talk about the things that were in the Crystal Palace that were so fascinating and groundbreaking, really, in terms of the future of civilization. So the royal family is well represented in terms of those good works. And then there is the brand new Prince Edward Pub and Royal Libation Society. And that is a completely new thing for the Ruby Jubilee, where people can experience a port and chocolate tasting, and a champagne and shortbread tasting. And those will be offered through the DickensFair.com website experiences page. And people can actually reserve their time to sit down in the Royal Libation Society and learn about the world as it relates to the creation of and the enjoyment of these wonderful elixirs we call port and champagne and fantastic chocolates and shortbreads as well.
DickensFair.com and check it out.
But what if, for whatever reason, you can't attend the Dickens Fair's Ruby Jubilee in person?
We have put some things on the website that are celebrations of the history of the Dickens Christmas Fair. And one of them is a 1970 show that was produced by KQED. And the other one is a 1973 show that was produced by my mother in a TV studio in Sacramento. And we have taken these fairly long shows and edited them down to a then and now experience where you can see the best of these wonderful moments in the history of the Dickens Christmas Fair, and then instantly wrapped into the video of last year's Dickens Christmas Fair. So then and now. And there's two of those, one depicting 1970, which was our inaugural year, and the other one 1973. And so those are available on the galleries page of the Dickens Fair website. And if you can't be there in person, at least enjoy those. And we will hope to see you in the future at the fair.
Yeah. Where will you be on the 23rd of November, and what will you be doing?
I will be underneath my top hat with this smile on my face and my heart full, welcoming all of our audience members and also our family of artists and performers and staff back together again, because it is really like one big family reunion each year, and that we just do it, and also Christmas Eve. It is literally like 11 Christmas Eves, because when you enter the Dickens Christmas Fair, it is evening in the story of A Christmas Carol on Christmas Eve. So you'll see Ebenezer Scrooge wandering around, first in his business attire saying, "Bah humbug," and then in his pajamas on the arm of one of the enlightening ghosts to help him with his redemption and to teach him that indeed our miserly ways and our misanthropic ideas are in fact completely disconnected to who we actually are. They are something that is a construct of, you know, sort of the business world. And Mr. Scrooge actually, like all of us at the holidays and hopefully on into the year, can be redeemed and really reconnect with our heart and our love for our fellow people.
If ever there was a time we needed that message, this is it.
Yes, yes. It is a redemption story that we all need to remember and embrace.
Do I have it right that now we have the third generation of Pattersons participating in the Dickens Fair?
Yes, thank you so much. Our son, Leslie, and I carried on the production of the Dickens Christmas Fair from my parents, Ron and Phyllis Patterson. And our sons, Andrew Patterson and Michael Patterson, are now carrying on that tradition. Michael is involved in running many of the children's activities at the fair, and that is a part-time occupation for him. But Andrew is our general manager now, and he is running the show, as it were, and is doing a fantastic job, really appreciating himself the fact that he is a third generation living history event producer carrying on this very innovative art form in the cultural landscape of the Bay Area and indeed America.
Anyone looking at the website will be struck by just how resilient the Dickens Fair is. Loma Prieta earthquake, the event where the sprinklers freeze, and the pandemic. What would you really like for the Dickens Fair to be in another 40 years? Where do you want it to grow?
Oh, well, that's a wonderful thought. I feel like the things that you mentioned, and also after 9/11, we really are representing what is best about the arts, which is a place where people can go to reconnect with their sense of culture and their sense of enjoyment of one another. And that is carried on every single year in new and different ways. So I just look forward to 40 years from now being able to, I may not be around then. I will be over 100 if I am. And so for the families that will continue on to do the Dickens Christmas Fair, should we all be so fortunate and so blessed to have that same feeling of brother and sisterly love that continues to be brought to life and reminded, as well as the continuation of handcrafts and face-to-face performance where the audience becomes one of the performers. That is breaking that fourth wall and engaging people and getting them into sort of a more childlike, playful state. And that is really what my parents and what my wife and I and what our sons and indeed the entire community of people that brings the Dickens Christmas Fair to life every year hope for people, that we are delivering a grin to people's faces each and every time they come through the door.
Final question. Within the last 5 years, what's been one of your absolute favorite Christmas experiences with the Dickens Fair?
Within the last 5 years, I can honestly say that it is the return from the pandemic, because we really had no idea how that was going to be possible. And we went through it by giving people opportunities to enjoy some of the traditions of the Dickens Christmas Fair at home via their computers in 2020, and then a drive around version where people didn't have to leave their cars, but they could still see the vignettes through these giant open doorways at the Cow Palace, and they could get some tea and some food delivered to their car. But we did not know whether or not it would be possible for us to continue gathering in person for years to come. And if that was the case, then we probably wouldn't have been able to survive it. But lo and behold, the very next year, we were able to return to this marvelous indoor theatrical experience and do it safely and have everybody so grateful to be able to gather again in that way. And so I have to say that that sort of recovery from and celebration of life that was the post-pandemic return a couple of years ago was the highlight for me of the last 5 years.
Kevin, thank you for your time today.
You're so welcome, Dodd. It's really a pleasure talking with you. And we look forward to seeing you at the 40th annual Dickens Christmas Fair.
You and I have been listening to Kevin Patterson, founder and co-producer of Red Barn Productions, producers of the Great Dickens Christmas Fair. And happy special anniversary to them. The Dickens Fair's Ruby Jubilee runs for 5 weekends, November 23rd through December 22nd, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Cow Palace in Daly City. They are going to be open the Friday after Thanksgiving. And you can find out more about tickets, season passes, and the new experiences Kevin mentioned on their website, dickensfair.com. They do have special twilight ticket rates after 3 p.m. and free admission for active military personnel for the first 2 weekends with military ID. Once again, that website, dickensfair.com. And that concludes this edition of Noelophile. Thank you for listening. And may your Christmas season be festive, celebratory, and filled with inspiration for the future.